You ever feel like your real estate marketing content just blends into the background? Well, today's episode is your game changer. We're peeling back the curtain on how to develop story-driven content that doesn't just reach your audience, but truly resonates with them, transforming the way they see your brand. Welcome to the Influential Real Estate Marketing Podcast. I'm Amber Joy, once a struggling agent, now a referral powerhouse. I've been where you are, overwhelmed by countless marketing strategies and stuck in analysis paralysis. Alongside my husband and fellow coach, Jason, we've discovered what truly works in today's real estate market. Our mission is to guide you through the clutter of old school tactics to the clarity of modern, effective marketing that elevates your influence and your referrals in your local market. Join us and our remarkable guests as we share the blueprint for success that's working right now. Let's dive in.
Oh, hey, babe. Hey,
welcome everybody. Of course, I have my co-host, my hubby and better half here, Jason, with me. And this is a topic you are very, very good at and very passionate about. So I'm excited to be talking about it with you.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about just how to create content for real estate marketing. And so I want to go over everything we're going to cover. We're going to explore how to pick emotion-driven topics, tailor them to specific audience like buyers, sellers, or whatever your niche happens to be, how to transform these ideas into stories and video scripts using AI tools like ChatGPT. We're also going to discuss maintaining the authenticity in AI-generated content, something that a lot of agents are struggling with is, I want to use AI, but it doesn't sound like me. We're also going to teach you how to measure the effectiveness of your content through engagement and leads and how to continuously refine your strategies based on audience feedback. So we're covering the gamut of stuff today.
All right. Well, those sound like amazing things. I know that sometimes we feel like in that we can get caught up looking like every other agent out there with our content, or maybe we're stuck in analysis paralysis and not making content at all. So regardless of which camp you're in, today's topic is really going to help you.
Yeah. So it's all about is because what a realtor's goal is, or at least what I've heard a lot from what they talk to me is we're taught that you want someone to know you, like you, and trust you. Well, your video content or your content in general is that thing that can do that the quickest, because the more that you share, you know, your perspective, the more they feel as if they know you. And if you infuse your personality inside of a video, they're going to feel that they like you. And if you're consistently sharing experiences, then they feel like they can trust you. And so when we talk about, hey, if I want someone to know me, like me, and trust me, then what's the best way to have do that? Well, it's going to be video and telling stories and you know, talking to your people.
So true. So tell us some practical tips on how to do that. Like, how do we get started?
Well, the very first thing is what I like to do is you pick emotion-driven topics. We like to think that people buy homes based upon the data and the facts and the square footage, and they might say that, but ultimately people tend to make emotional decisions when they purchase a home. So when we talk about content, how to create it, we start with an emotion word like worry or excited or anxious or nervous. These are really strong things to start and use as a foundation to when you start this process of making content.
I'm not really sure what that means, so I can't wait to hear more about that.
Well, it's like a step. So first thing I do is I'm going to pick an emotion. So I'm going to pick, I'll pick worry because, you know, to me, sticks work better than carrots.
Okay.
And so once I pick the emotion, then I need to start to pick my audience. Who am I talking to? Because it's one thing to talk about worry, but I don't want to talk to everyone with every piece of content that I make. I want to make something specific. So I'll choose someone who's looking to sell their home. So I'll choose sellers in this scenario. Again, it's very general, very basic. Obviously, we drill down into niches, but what are sellers worried about? And then I go to town and write down and just try to think of everything that a seller's got to worry about. And babe, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. So, you know, what are some common things that sellers are going to worry about when it comes to their home?
Well, like which stage are we talking about? Like their home that they already own or their home that they're thinking of buying? Which angle are you going about this?
Well, I'm going after sellers. So I want to talk to a seller, someone selling their home. So if I speak to them in the buying process, then I'm talking to them as a buyer. So I wouldn't probably do that. I would want
I didn't know if you meant, okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, what are the things they are worried about, sellers? I think they're worried about, a lot of them haven't sold in a long time. Mm-hmm. Think about somebody doesn't move for every 5 to 10 years. So if that's the case, matter of fact, we just worked with somebody that they had not been in that process since the 70s.
Right.
And so
exactly.
Just the worry of the unknown, right? Not knowing what to expect, not even knowing what to ask because they haven't done it. That was one of the big worries.
Yeah.
I think another worry is, go ahead.
No, say go ahead. Go ahead. Bring it.
So is that, we want to stop with that one and then you want to move forward or do you want me to give you more?
Well, I want the exercise is simply this. What is everything that someone selling their home is going to worry about? So for me, I would think about, do their kids have to change schools? How do I get their kids excited about moving? Do they need any kind of, you know, when do they have to sell their house by? What if they don't sell their house by a specific time? How am I going to get all this stuff packed up? Do I have to move or do I have to sell some stuff before I need to move? Think about the anxiety.
They're worried about the safety of showing. They're worried about what do I do with my pets when somebody wants to come see the house? You know, lots of things.
And so when agents are struggling making content, then if you do this exercise, pick an emotion, pick a audience, and then start just jotting down everything that they are going to feel given that specific emotion. You know, we just rattled off like 7 different ideas. And then every single one of those ideas then becomes the basis of a story-driven prompt or a story that you're going to tell someone in an Instagram reel or a TikTok or whatever you want to do. So the concept of creating endless content for real estate is really about just these two components. I think sometimes we overthink things when it comes to, oh, I got to think about this and let me share. And we default to like, let me just talk about stats or let me just say now is a great time to sell your home. Why? Because it is.
Yeah.
And so when you get stuck in, you know, this, it's just a rut, I would say. It's just a really good exercise for you to do. Pick emotion, pick an audience, and just start writing down everything that is. And you can do the exact same thing for excited. Okay, I want to pick the emotion of excitement, and I want to go after buyers. And I'll go specific niche, and I want to go after buyers looking in a certain subdivision in a city. What are those people excited about? You know, and they're excited to be at a new school. What about that new school could I film to tie into that emotion? And so when you start looking at content from that perspective, now I'm excited. And now I've got a laundry list of all these emotionally driven topics that I get to talk about.
At any time emotion is attached, as you said, that is going to connect with an audience at a bigger level than you just telling them factual things. That's one of the things that I have struggled with in making new content is wanting to just kind of help someone and state facts. People don't really just want to hear it that way. You know, they want to hear it in a story driven or in an emotional, in a way that they can really connect with. So I really like that tip. That's awesome. Pick an emotion. Think about who's your ideal client and what emotions might they be feeling and make some content around that. That's a good one. I love it.
Well, I try.
All right, what else do you have for me?
Well, in this, because I think about process a lot. You know how my brain works. So
I'm very big picture and you're very process.
Exactly. I need the steps. Like, that's great. But what about the steps? So in laying out this step in my head, and this is why I think that when people watch or listen to us, it's the benefit because I get so deep into the, I'm lost. I'm just going to admit that I'm lost. And then you're so high up and, you know, in the big picture, like, okay, so let me show you where you're at. So this is helpful. Okay. So I've got my idea. I've got a list of ideas that are, again, emotion-based ideas that I can talk about. Okay, so how do I get this idea and then turn it into a story? Because not all of us are great storytellers. I'm gonna say that. I don't offend anybody. You know who you are. You're not good at telling stories. Like, my dad is amazing at telling stories. And I'm not so much. I'm just like, this is what happened. Factual, logical. Dad goes into characters, and it's always been amazing. So if you struggle, if you're a really good storyteller, then congratulations, you can stop listening now. Actually, no, because there's more stuff down the line. But you have a really good basis for now, some really cool content. But if you're not a good storyteller, then there is a way for you to become a good storyteller, and this is by leveraging artificial intelligence and ChatGPT. So there is a way to tell ChatGPT, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask me what I want to talk about. Let me tell you what I'm going to talk about. And then I want you to ask me questions to get a better understanding of what I want to talk about. And then take all my answers and then turn that into a story-driven post. And it literally is that easy. Sometimes, again, with new technologies, I remember when ChatGPT first came out, there was like this rush of all these classes and everyone was teaching it off the bat. And it's like, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do this. And we just saw it as a, hey, take my order, give me something. But if you are going down this track and you really want to dive into ChatGPT, now this is not a ChatGPT podcast, but I just want to tell you that it literally is that easy to say, this is what I want to talk about, ask me questions about it, and then take my answers and give me something that's a story-driven post.
So you would give them the answers that we just identified in the first step is what you're saying?
Yeah. So I've got my idea. And again, let me go back to the original so we're not losing anybody. But it's I'm worried about changing schools when we move. I'll just take that.
Right. So all those ideas that we came up with the emotions.
So I'm going to go into ChatGPT and I said, this is what I want to talk about. I want you to ask me questions to understand more about what I'm trying to say. So ChatGPT will start to ask you questions. You know, when did you first learn about this? Now, again, you can go into depth and tell it, hey, you're a copywriter and you've got all this experience and you're a journalist and you're going to ask me questions and you're going to craft it. You can do all that. But I want to make it as easy as possible for people. Is you tell it what you want to talk about, have it ask you questions about that, and then take your answers and then formulate a story based upon them. That's
so
it.
You're telling that ChatGPT essentially help me create the content based on XYZ.
See, that's why you're so awesome, because you just translated everything I said for the past like 3 minutes into one sentence that people understand.
Well, I love ChatGPT because even for like the podcast intro, we might know what we want to talk about and we're putting those thoughts in, but it's going to make it sound more eloquent or it's going to make it sound more engaging. And that's the point, is to be a storyteller, to be more engaging and to pull people in with those stories and posts and videos. And so if you're not sure how to do that and you're like my personality type, where you're like, I'm a D type and I'm a big picture, then bullet out. You don't have to be an eloquent writer. You don't have to be detailed. Bullet out what it is those emotions were that Jason was just talking about. Bullet out the things you want to say and say, out of this, create a story-driven prompt for me. And it's really a game changer, because it's going to help move you out of analysis paralysis. So I love that you're using and suggesting to use AI. Now, I got to ask you, for those that might be listening, to say, well, I've tried that and the AI came up with something that did not sound like me at all. I hated it. What do you say to that?
Well, what would I say? I would say, well, then you did it wrong, but let's go.
Wow.
That's what I would say.
And
all right. So what I would say,
coach us through that.
I'll coach you through it. So it's about talking to ChatGPT like it's an actual person. So I always think of ChatGPT like someone I just hired on my team, and I need to tell them in clear indication what I expect from them. So it's a three-step process. I'll go through it super quick, and babe, then you can translate it. Number one, I tell ChatGPT exactly who it is. You know, I tell it, hey, you're a marketer, or you're a copywriter, or you're a person in my organization who's in charge of writing all my content. You have read this book on sales. You've read, you know, this. You've used to work for, you know, Amy Porterfield, you know, in the past, and you know, you like her language, whatever. That's who you are. So I tell it who it is. Next, I tell it exactly what I want it to do. I want you to ask me questions, analyze my answers, and I give
and
it a goal.
Create something.
and what I expect from you, set expectations with ChatGPT, is I expect from you to take my answers and create a story-driven post that will resonate with my audience. And my audience is sellers who are worried about selling their home in McKinney, Texas, for example. That's a lot different than you telling ChatGPT, hey, make me a story-driven post about this, because you didn't, it's like, okay, there, you know, you didn't tell me who I was. And so my three-step process for ChatGPT is I tell it who it is and the history that it has, and I go in depth as possible. I tell it exactly what I want it to do, and then I have expectations of how I want it to give me that thing I want it to do.
Yeah, I think the best way to look at that big picture is treat it as if it's an employee. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not, it's treat it as if it's a member of your team. And if it wasn't AI, you would be telling that member of your team all of those things. So you can't just go into AI and expect that it's going to produce a great statement. Right. Or if you haven't given it any information, it will create a statement, but it's not likely to be good because it has nothing to go off of. It's no different than when you hire an employee and you haven't trained them very well, but then you're wondering why their work is not that good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So it's the same thing.
Same thing. Well, that's why I said
ChatGPT is free.
Yeah, versus having to pay someone whatever hourly rate that I need to pay them. So yeah.
Yeah, and copywriters. Yeah, copywriters are no joke when it comes to being expensive. So now you can coach ChatGPT even after it's asked you questions and it created mm-hmm. something and you're like, well, I mostly like this. It is possible to say, listen, this sounds a little bit too formal for my personality style.
Yeah.
Like I've told it, add a little cheekiness for me or add a little more warmth in it for me, depending on the kind of tone I'm wanting for that story. You can literally give ChatGPT emotions as you're creating your story-driven post, and it will make those adjustments.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing. Well, so here's the benefit of doing this. If you're going to go through the process of doing this, and again, you only have to do like that part once. You only have to make this prompt, you know, as detailed as possible one time, because once it's set, then you're good to go. But when you tell ChatGPT who it is and to ask you questions about your idea, you absolutely will start to infuse your personal knowledge and personal experiences, because it's asking you really good questions. That's the one thing I've always been impressed with ChatGPT, is when you tell it to ask you questions about this to get more out of it, it does a great job of asking you some powerful questions, not yes or mm-hmm. no questions. Like, tell me about your experience with this, or when did you first discover this? I'm like, well, let me tell you. And you just start, because you can talk about that stuff. If I said, tell me a story about this, you know, and you're like, I don't really know. But if I said, okay, what's your experience been with X, Y, and Z? Or like, oh, let me tell you. And then you could go on for days. That's nothing but helpful, because when you're leveraging a tool like ChatGPT to ask you questions, to pull information out of you, then from your end, I'm just giving this information, but on ChatGPT's end is learning how you talk. And this kind of goes back to the authenticity of, you know, talking about what you're doing. It's all about, hey, I want to talk about this. And so when you break into it, it really is fantastic, because it will give you something that sounds like you, because it is you. It's taking your answers, not what it thinks it wants to tell you.
Yeah. Excellent. And I know this is not a ChatGPT class. However, that is very helpful, because I feel like people just get so stuck on that. And if that can be your buddy that goes alongside of you to help create more story-driven content, then I am all for it. But I think going back to step number one, before we move on, a lot of people may be still stuck on that one step before they're even taking it to ChatGPT. And you might actually have yourself some block of thinking, well, I don't know what the emotions are of sellers. I don't know, because we really overthink things. And I'm talking to myself, really. I overthink a lot of things. And so I want you to just think about what emotions, challenges, questions, roadblocks happened, all those things for your current and past buyers and sellers. List those out. Okay. And really think about not just who I'm trying to attract, because sometimes we're like, okay, I am trying to attract this person. And you should be thinking about, who's my ideal client?
Right.
What concerns do they have? What challenges do they have? How can I solve those? How can I make content that solves those? And I love how you said that in step one. But if you get stuck, think about the same exact thing you're saying, but think about what did they have in your past? What were past right. sellers, past buyers? What were those obstacles? What were those stories? What were those breakthrough moments? What were those ahas they had that you saw them light up? What were the panic moments that they had? Those are all emotions that trigger you to pick up the phone, open your notes app, and take that idea down that you saw. And that is going to be an emotion-driven topic that you could make content on and bring to ChatGPT. Because I know for me, I don't always think of it in the moment. I'm thinking about it when I'm out and about. So make sure you document that.
Well, I think it's so great because having a phone with you is you can take, oh, I just thought of something and I can, obviously not while you're driving, don't do that. But you can take that note on whatever. And again, I like
the unless you're a Texas driver.
Okay.
Unless you're a Texas driver, then apparently they're on their phones.
So when it
comes to- We saw that a lot today.
We did. We actually did. But when it comes to when we run out of questions, or I would say for agents who are newer and maybe mm-hmm. don't have the experience to draw upon, oh, I'm not getting any questions because I just started, 3 months ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk to your family, talk to your mom, your dad, aunts, uncles, anyone who's owned a home and said, hey, can I ask you questions? What were some things you were really excited about when you first came here? And like, oh man, I was super excited about the school because we're hearing some really good things. Or I was super excited about the vicinity to the hospital because dad's getting older. He's got to move in with us. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And you could just ask, what were you worried about? What were you scared about? What were you really frustrated with? And they will give you all that information. And this like, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. And basically you could just, you're just talking to people. It sounds so weird especially coming from me, but it sounds weird that, hey, if you want to make good content about stuff that's going to resonate, then you should talk to people to get information and get ideas.
So. Shocking.
Shocking.
We should connect with people. I get it. Yeah. All right. So what's next? So we got our emotion driven topics. We've used AI to help us to generate some content. Mm-hmm. What's next?
We transform the ideas into stories by leveraging AI content. And we're going to maintain the authenticity, which means it's going to sound like us. Because of how we use the AI, we're going to have it ask us questions. So it's basically taking our answers. Let's talk about how do we measure the effectiveness of it? Like, why are we doing this thing to begin with? That's kind of important.
That's why we're doing this, right?
I want your thoughts on this because I think about metrics differently. I don't care about followers. Okay. Or subscribers. I've never seen or equated that to business. I remember, I always use the example of YouTube because, we've seen a lot of real estate channels who, they get a ton of business, but their actual subscriber count's like really low. Yeah, maybe 100, 200
really low,
people.
Yeah.
They get a ton of business because it's about the views and the engagement more than it is about the followers.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember back
in
the
day. Yeah, they might have found it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish.
No, back in the day.
I was going to say, back in the day, it was all about the followers, all about how many people like your business page, how many friends do I have on Facebook, how many followers do I have here? And it's just not a reliable metric anymore as far as getting you business.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I really do not care about how many followers I have if I'm not getting business out of it. I want to be making a difference in this world, and I want to provide value and transform that into hopefully a transaction eventually. And if those things, that is the only metric that matters. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught up in that. I always tell people it only takes one person to see that video that day or whatever content you did out to be a possible lead. So we don't have to have the masses. Now, obviously anything is a numbers game when it comes to marketing. So the more people you're hitting, I realize you're gonna have a higher percentage of business, but you cannot count followers. It takes just one to make a massive difference and could be one person could be a transaction that day, that week, and that adds up over time.
Well, here's what I wish agents would chase. I see agents chase like the knowledge. Oh, okay. So when's the best time to post? Or, when we speak about a topic, it's like, okay, so, but I like this. When do you think is the best time to post? Or, when, and it's like all this, I say, you know what I wish you would chase? I wish you would chase the content. I wish you would chase just, okay, I'm just going to put stuff out there. And that's the focus. I think that sometimes I would always equate this. It's like, you don't have to understand all the dynamics and how a chair was built just to be able to sit in it. Just sit in it.
Right.
Sit in the chair.
Just do it.
And just do it. And that's, well, that's a whole different topic, but it's, you know, the metrics that
well,
you should be looking at.
Sometimes we get caught up in the details to prevent us from taking action.
Oh yeah, totally. Absolutely. I like what you said. It's like you, when we talk about real estate and to our coaching clients, you say, you know, you can't control the listings you're going to get. You can't control the buyers going to work with you, but all you can control the action steps that you take, you know, to get those opportunities. And that's the same thing when it comes to this. If you want to start making way more content, then that's the focus. You know, yes, I can look at it and we can talk about how do I, you know, just in a brief second, we'll transition. But how do you measure the effectiveness of your social? You measure it by the comments that you're getting or the shares that you're getting or the actual inquiries that you're getting to your business. You know, or even like I said, engagement, I think is also a really tough one because it's like, okay, do I measure likes? Do I measure actual comments? You know, I would take all that into consideration. I would even take views because to a certain degree, views is a form of interaction. I took, you know, time to watch your minute clip or minute and a half clip or whatever it was. Cause I could have just scrolled, you know, when we're, laying in bed, Amber's scrolling. And if I start watching her, then I'm like, wait, I wanted to. What about, what was that? Wait,
and you have like, your own.
I know, but
you're, by the like, way, you see, we are married. You just said when Amber's laying in bed, just in case you're a new viewer, he's not some creeper.
I'm just some dude.
Oh, wow. So, that just got real personal.
Yeah,
real
that got
quick.
Weird. Like, why do you have to say that? I thought people knew. People don't know? Okay.
Well, they do now. Yeah.
They do now. So I would say, you know, be chasing that content as far as how much content you're putting out there. And if you are starting to look, am I being successful, then you're going to know by, are people engaging with your stuff? Are they liking your stuff? And so if you're that realtor that's out there going, all right, well, I've been doing it and I'm not getting any business from it. Okay. Then keep doing it. You know, it's going to hit. It's the powerful thing about social media. And I've been teaching social media for like 14 years now, and it's always the same. Is you will start off with a pretty low trajectory for a while, and then all of a sudden it just, boom, takes off like a rocket. It has happened every single time with so many people.
And you don't know when that's going to happen, unfortunately.
No.
You will never find out, though, if you don't keep going. I will say, though, if you are not getting any engagement, that is telling you that's a red flag. Okay. You're not resonating. So it's okay if you have low engagement because you have low viewership, right? Because you just haven't made it yet in front of everybody. But if you're not getting a single comment or like, or you know, then we're not resonating. Maybe it's because we're boring. Maybe we need to go back to the drawing board with ChatGPT. Maybe our topics are not resonating. So there is some tweaking you need to do. I don't want you to get an analysis paralysis by any means, but there is sometimes tweaking that you need to do. If you look like you are just reading straight off a teleprompter, or if you are just like your personality totally just leaves the second the camera starts, that's just
Hi,
a practice
I'm
thing.
I'm really excited to tell you about.
You know, and I was pretty much that way when I first started. It's just a practice thing, but you don't need to be perfect. That's the great news. A matter of fact, to give you some encouragement, on a lot of the platforms, people would rather see authentic realness over perfection any day. And those are converting better. So when you're telling a story, it shouldn't be perfect. It should just be like you're talking to your best friend and you are having a conversation. And so it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfectly curated. Feel free to practice and just be yourself.
That's so good. That's such good advice. Because you're absolutely right. And that kind of, that pulls into our last is refining the strategies, and you're refining the strategies based upon what you're seeing. And I wouldn't do this every week. I would probably do this on a monthly basis where I would take a look at my content, whatever channel we're doing, and take, depending on how many posts you're doing, you're doing one post a day or whatever. But if you take a look at it from a, if you take a look at like on a daily basis, like I post a video, let me go run, see how people like it. You know, let me go check it later on at night. Let me go check it. You're going to drive yourself crazy. But if you take a look at it on a monthly basis and go, okay, here's all the content ideas that I had, you will absolutely be able to see, oh, this one resonated way better. And it's all relative. Like your amazing video was amazing at 87 views, but it's 87 views and everything else got like 6 or 7. And so even though you don't have the numbers, it's still significantly better. And so when you're taking a look at your posts, like you were saying, maybe you're boring. And that's, I don't mean that you're boring.
Because you're not boring, but yeah.
It's your topic is boring. Which then bleeds into, okay, you're boring. Babe, okay, I know you want to talk about this. Topics that are boring that either people in our industry or other industries still do.
You guys, because we're realtors, and if you know anybody moving to North Dallas, we're happy to help you. Let me just put that little plug in.
Nice.
I know, right? We have tons of coaching clients and realtor friends all over the world. And we are seeing posts all the time. And it just cracks me up how most of the content is like, today's topic is, what is escrow? And that'll be the topic. Yeah. And it's like, nobody cares about that topic because they don't know why they should care what escrow is. Yeah. There's no emotion tied to that. There's no story-driven prompt behind that. And it, we've got to do better. That's not going to convert no matter how smart you are about what escrow is. And by the way, I know escrow is important and I know it's important that you know as a realtor what escrow is, but that's not what's going to pull in your ideal client. They want to hear stories that involve emotion. They want to hear about how you have helped a client overcome a major obstacle. And as I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, wow, when I go to buy or sell, I am using her because she goes above and beyond. She cares for her clients. She does not just put a sign in the yard. Look what this lady is doing. And there has to be some kind of story or emotion that's what's going to help people connect to you. And also your personality. So don't forget to let it shine, you know?
Yeah. I like that. So good. So here's if I want to go back to practical steps, take a look at your month's content. And you pick, hey, okay, here are my highest producing ones. And I watch them again and go, okay, what was I talking about it? How did I talk about it? Was there a story attached to it with the background? I mean, I like overanalyze it. Was the background look like? Was there music in it? What kind of music was it? And then for the next month, you can start to go, okay, let me talk more about that. But then let me also infuse some new stuff I want to talk about, some new story, some new emotion. Let me try a different, you know, set and go after that. And so what you're going to have when we talk about refining your strategy based upon the audience feedback is that you're every month you're figuring out what worked best. You're trying a little bit more of that and then more of something else. And then you take a look at it again and then you measure. And maybe some of the original content got even better. And like, oh, this people are really resonating with this topic. Let me talk about a little bit more about that from a different perspective and let me try some new stuff. And so it's just constant refining of what is really resonating with people. And you'll just get better and better and better at it. And that's versus like, it's a brand new month. I'm going to try a whole bunch of brand new stuff. Am I going to look at the past stuff I've done? Why? And I'll just try some new stuff. And I'm like, no one's resonating with me. I was like, well, why would I?
Yeah. Well, and if you're new and you're like, well, I have no analytics, so where do I start? One of the tips that I would give you is to, you know, if you are on social media and you're trying to grow your platform on whatever preferred social media you are trying to grow your platform on with your content, as you're consuming on that platform, look to see what is resonating well for them. And you might save that video. And if you see a bunch of people are connecting with that type of video, see if there's a way for you to adopt that to what industry you're in. So what I'm not saying is steal people's content. That ain't cool. But if you see that somebody's doing something and there's a way for you to recycle that and translate it into your field where you have a new fresh take on it, but the other person gave you an idea, then that's a way that you can get started too. Because if it's resonating here, it might resonate here. Again, not stealing people's content, but recycling it to what you do.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I would also want to add, don't steal who they are. You know, if I
What does that mean to
remember,
you?
okay, so there was this girl on TikTok who was nervous and she had this crazy, like she had black hair, she would always pull it up and she was like, okay, so she was a phenomenal storyteller. Do you remember what I'm talking
Okay.
about? I can't remember her name.
No.
Anyway, but the way she talked and her patterns, she would talk a lot with her hands. And then she had a certain rhythm of how she talked, and then she blew up, she became super popular. And then I started seeing a whole bunch of other TikTokers just acting like her, but it wasn't the same. And so if you see something like a piece of content, you know, try out the piece of content, not the person giving the piece of content. Is
Yeah,
that
you got to make it your own. You don't steal that person's personality. That's not who you are.
Well, that, but I think that's what agents make the mistake of. Oh, that's resonating because of the way that that person is, versus no, they're just putting out some value piece of content that just resonated for a certain reason. You know, I've seen a rise of people showing houses, but they're like cussing and trash talking and like saying the most vulgar things. I'm like going, it's getting a lot of attention, but if that's not who you are, please don't think that you have to be that way in order to get the
And if
attention.
that's not who you're trying to attract.
Oh, that's another very powerful thing about content that I think needs to be talked about. You
I
will
mean,
get who you are perceived to be online.
you are going to, your vibe attracts your tribe, as they say. And so you are going to attract what you are being. Another way we like to say it is, who is your ideal client? And who do you need to be to attract them? Or who do you need to become to attract them? So, of course you're going to be authentic as you can, and don't steal. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Don't steal other people's stuff in that way, and you can't be their personality style for sure.
Nice. That's a should we recap? All
All right, do it. Let's recap.
right, let's recap. What do we talk about today? All right, so we talked about picking an emotion-driven topic. Pick an emotion. And then you're going to tailor that content to a specific audience. So once you pick your emotion, you're going to pick who exactly are you talking to. And while we just touched on buyers and sellers, you can go even deeper than that. I work with veterans. Okay, Pilger, what are veterans worried about? What are they excited about? What are they fearful of? What have you? So creating content for a specific audience and then taking those ideas, leveraging a tool like ChatGPT to help you turn that idea into a story by having it ask you some cool questions. And then you will maintain your authenticity with AI because, again, you are using your words and not its in order to make the content yourself. And then we talked about measuring the effectiveness of your content by looking at the engagement that you're getting. It's not about followers, it's not about subscribers. And then lastly, is all about refining your strategies based upon the feedback that you're getting and maybe infusing trying new things. So it's about grabbing what's working, grabbing a little bit of new stuff, and then continuing to find that process. Woo! A lot.
Okay, well, thank you, Jason, for all that insight. And we want to thank you guys for joining us today. If you like what you've heard, remember to subscribe to the podcast to listen to future episodes. Leave us a review and share it with a friend today.
Right, so if you guys
Jay,
want
if you
ex
want, yeah,
what?
oh, sorry.
So if you guys
I
want
just
ex
cut you off, my bad.
That's okay. If you guys want exclusive content and free tips on the latest in real estate marketing and lead generation, then definitely follow us at Influential Agent on our social media channels. We're pretty much on all of them using Influential Agent because we're just happy to help.
That's right. All right, you guys, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.